Now the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Attorney General William Barr accused the FBI of spying on President Trump's 2016 campaign. That drew a sharp rebuke from Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who it sometimes has allied himself with Trump.
To come from our attorney general. I know he tried to backtrack that and walk that back. The only spying that I saw was Russia spying. And Russia was trying to spy on anybody and everybody they could to get more involved in our process to have some influence of what direction it would go. There is no doubt. Now, whoever they're talking about the spying, I can assure you we didn't see the political parties spying on each other from that standpoint to where it was. We saw basically this whole Julia Assange. We saw all of that. We saw Russia with no, all the evidence we had, and no doubt that Russia was doing everything they could on social media and every other.
That's Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia. Joining me now here in the Allstate Skyline studio, high above the snow that's falling outside, is Michael Jacobson. He is the CEO of the Illinois Hotels and Lodging Association. Mike, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. Happy Master Sunday.
Yes. I mean, that's why I was saying is like, you got to watch the Masters now because of how bad it looks outside, just as a reminder that there are better days ahead.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed. It's a nice day to spend the day inside and watch on TV.
Yes, it is. With a fireplace burning.
Amen.
You know, there you go. I wanted to have Mike on because we had just heard from Bob Reeder from the Chicago Federation of Labor and their position on this issue of workplace scheduling. And I wanted to get kind of an employer's take here as well so that we can kind of keep things a little bit balanced. But I'm curious what your thoughts are where he points to a new, more progressive city council coming in, and that while there had been negotiations going on, he says with this progressive bent of the new city council, they'll start over from where they were before.
Yeah, I think if you take it that way, I think that will be a disaster because we did make good progress. And to give Bob credit, conversations over the last several weeks progressed well. We hope to keep those conversations going.
I think everybody took this, that there was good faith negotiations going on.
There was. And I think it provides us where we ended, provides us a good starting point going into the next city council, working with the new council, and then Mayor-elect Lightfoot. I think she's reasonable enough to realize we need to find a compromise, that their original proposal not only was unreasonable, but actually will hurt the workers more than anyone I think really has read into yet.
Well, can you tell us where that last version, what
sure.
was in that last
sure.
version?
I think taking one step back, I think ultimately this overall issue is a solution in search of a problem. We, from the hotel's perspective, the more we've told our employees what this means for them, the more they're saying, we don't want this. We are happy with the way our schedules are set. And actually, many people join our industry because of the flexibility we offer. We actually did a survey, the broader business community. We have what's called the Work Your Way Coalition. And we did a survey of 400 workers that would be covered under these new protections. And overwhelmingly, we heard the message, we don't want this. 80% were happy with the way they get their schedules now. So it just shows you that regardless of what we ultimately land on, overwhelmingly the workers themselves, not the employers, the workers are saying, we don't want this.
But isn't there something to be said, though, for some kind of predictability?
Absolutely. And we're in agreement on that. So to go back to your question on the kind of what was in this latest version, we landed and we agreed on many of the key provisions that both labor and then, again, the employers agreed were the right thing to do. So if you show up to work and get sent home, you're entitled to some pay. You paid to take the bus or the train into work. You paid for childcare. You're entitled to something if you get sent home right away. If your shift gets canceled the morning of, you should be entitled to some pay. That's fair. If we agreed to posting our schedule 14 days out, we think that's fair. The difference is once posted, we need some flexibility there, both on the employee and the employer side. If you look at hotels, 60% of all of our hotel rooms are booked within 14 days. So it shows you how hard it is to predict what our demand is going to be 2 weeks out. 15% of all hotel rooms are booked the day of. So 15% of all the rooms that will be stayed in tonight in Chicago will be booked today.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds very similar to some of the concerns that Sam Toya from the Restaurant Association expressed about, you want stability and predictability for a workforce, some businesses don't work with that kind of stable predictability.
Yeah, and what the stats I just mentioned are on a normal day. If you look at, I mean, obviously it's snowing out now, but if you look at a snowstorm that hits O'Hare, our downtown occupancy within a matter of hours crashes, but the airport hotels, their occupancy that started the day off at 55-60%, within an hour could shoot up to 100%. It shows you how flexible we have to be with reallocating staff and our employees. That's how they make a lot of their overtime and make their shifts to get 40 hours a week and make a living. Again, a lot of our employees are students or single mothers, and they need the flexibility to fit in with their schedules, and it's the way they make their living. A lot of our employees jump at the opportunity to get extra shifts in the case of added demand at the last minute.
Well, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, about, you know, this kind of a ordinance would affect only certain employers?
So if you look back, Bob mentioned going back to the original version of this ordinance. That ordinance, the reason I said it would be a disaster, would be the first version in the entire country. This has passed in other markets. It would be the first version that covers each and every industry. It would be a one-size-fits-all, includes every industry. That includes social services, nonprofits, healthcare, restaurants, hotels, retail. No other city or state has passed an ordinance that covers every single industry.
So this would exempt, I mean, the last version exempted.
The last version only included certain ones. And let me tell you kind of how the sausage was being made is the Work Your Way Coalition, the coalition of some of these business groups, actually put forth its own version as a compromise. And again, it included a lot of those key provisions that I mentioned we agreed to and that we think is the right thing. However, it also took into account just the way you run a business. I think a lot of the people that have been involved in the conversations, whether it's in city council or in the side conversations, have never actually had to put together a schedule and don't know these intricacies and how hard it is to account for this demand. And so our version that we put forth included the protections that we think that, frankly, workers deserve, but also take into account how it means to run a business.
We're speaking with Michael Jacobson. He's the CEO of the Illinois Hotels and Lodging Association. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, joined here in the Allstate Skyline studio by Michael Jacobson. He's the CEO of the Illinois Hotels and Lodging Association. We're talking about the issue of workplace scheduling, an ordinance issue being considered in the Chicago City Council. Previously, we had Bob Reeder, the president of the Chicago Federation of Labor, on to represent labor's view on this, and I wanted to get Mike on to talk about the employer's view. You talked previously about things that labor employers agreed upon in this, but what didn't get agreed upon?
Yeah, there's really four key areas that we haven't reached agreement on that the business community has been fighting for. First of all, again, is the what industries are included, which aren't. And I think we have a good basis in other cities that have passed this before. And let me mention also, speaking of other markets that have looked at passing this, Maine just this week unanimously voted down a version of this legislation. It shows you that there's kind of a shifting tide to against passing these sort of regulations in different cities and states. So really focusing on what industries are included is a key difference for us. Secondly, you heard Bob mention earlier that we want to really protect our low-wage workers, and we couldn't agree more. I think when you hear the quote bad apples that are in the workplace, we want to not only identify those bad apples and punish them and make sure they're handled, but also really protect our low-wage workers, which there are in hotels, restaurants, and other industries across the city. However, the version of the ordinance, both the original and the most recent, covers all hourly workers. Hotels have workers that are making 75, 80,000, even six figures, but they're hourly. That's not a low wage worker. So we really want to clearly define what labor means by low wage worker. The third is a voluntary standby list. And what that would say is if a volunteer raises their hand and says, I want to work additional hours, even if they weren't on the schedule 14 days out, if extra shifts become available, we're able to take them off of this voluntary list and we're not penalized for doing so. That's something that we've heard over and over again as rejected from the proponents of this ordinance. And we think it's only fair to give employees the right and the ability to say, I want
more
this.
Work.
Yeah, I want the extra money. I want the extra cash. That's how I make my livelihood. So why not give the employees the option to decide for themselves and work with their employer instead of having city council step in and legislate how they're scheduled?
I want to shift gears a moment too about kind of in the overall sense of the economic climate in Illinois, in Chicago, as far as the importance of how tourism is to economic growth in the city and revenues for the state. And you were saying off air before you came on about this isn't necessarily going to be a great year after we keep hearing, you know, record levels of tourism in Chicago.
Yeah, I think if you look at tourism as a whole, it's one of not only the largest employers in the city and the state, but also one of the largest tax generators. We generate millions in city tax and state tax that go to provide city and state services. I think one of the beauties of tourism is that tourists come here. Hopefully, knock on wood, they don't use any city services, they don't call the police or fire department, but they leave their tax revenue behind and they get out of here. 2018 was a record-breaking year, both in the city and the state. 2019 is shaping up to not be, it's not going to be horrible, but it's not going to be great. We have about 200,000 less room nights when it comes to convention business this year. The reason being is several of the big conventions that are here come in and out, they rotate in other cities, and this just happens to be one of those years where we have multiple of those conventions that happen to not be in the city of Chicago. So if you look at occupancy rates in January and February, both of them are lower year on year from 2018.
And that's already a low time.
It is already a low time. So if you look at January, it was 44% and February was 55%. So it shows you that our hotels aren't the cash cows as a lot of people think they are. And as you get more and more regulation, whether it's minimum wage, whether it's the property tax, and the expected increases we're going to see in property taxes, some of our larger downtown hotels are paying $30,000 a day in property taxes. They have to sell anywhere from 200 to 250 rooms a day just to break even, just on property taxes. And it shows you kind of the disadvantage that we have when it comes to the business climate in the city. So that's why we're worried of additional regulations like this workplace ordinance that are just going to add additional burdens and additional financial burdens on an industry that it isn't as profitable as everybody thinks.
Well, and you always hear one kind of easy source, quote unquote, for taxation is, well, go to the hotels because they're tourists and take the money from the tourists. But at some point, doesn't that raise an issue of rate of return as far as people wanting to even come here?
Exactly. I think I'm glad you asked that because during the campaign, Mayor-elect Lightfoot floated the idea of increasing the hotel tax. She's since retreated.
For the arts.
Exactly.
Was her explanation.
And we worked with her and her team to really educate her on what that meant. Chicago's already one of the highest tax hotel rooms in the country. And if you're a regular traveler, business or leisure, you're not paying attention to what the tax rate is. But if you're a convention planner or a meeting planner that's looking at 3,000 rooms for four nights and the collective tax burden, and you look at markets like New York or Orlando, Orlando's 5 percentage points less in the hotel tax. That's thousands and thousands of dollars that a meeting planner, that they'll pay attention to that and they'll choose to pick a different city as that tax rate continues to increase. So while it is a overall good idea in the minds of some, there is a breaking point, and we're worried that if we reach that breaking point as already one of the highest tax markets in the country, that people are going to start choosing to pick other cities, and that will be a shame as we talk about how important it is to our city's economy.
Well, let's just hope for tourism's sake, no one is taking pictures outside
today. We're excited for spring and, most importantly, summer to come.
That's Michael Jacobson. He's CEO of the Illinois Hotels and Lodging Association. We'll be back with more right after this.